Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thanksgiving 2020. Here we are. Here we go. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let's sing joyful, joyful. Here we go.
For a joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, heavy as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day.
Together we'll your righteous deeds, incomprehensible is your unrivaled power, and all your promises will stand eternally. Yeah. Upholding those who fall, uplifting those bowed down, you are near to all. When it's to you we go, so we now shout your name, we celebrate your faith.
Thanksgiving here, are you ready? Oh, pass it on,
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 pass it on, the wonders you have done,
the wonders you have done,
pass it on,
pass it on,
pass it on,
pass it on,
pass it on. So blessed to have a bunch of our singers. We're going to feature them singing from Revelation 19.
Hallelujah, salvation and glory, honor and power unto the Lord our God. For the Lord
are going to sing. excited to have some of our younger worshipers joining us on this song and giving thanks. Kids, take it.
For the first morning light, for the birds when they fly, for the clouds when they hang up so high in the sky, for your glory I see in the sweet baby smile. I give thanks for those times when I've laughed with my family and friends, for the times when I've cried since your speech.
Let's all sing it together.
I give thanks to you. I give thanks, oh Lord, for everything you give, for everything I have. I give thanks to you.
My name is Aaron Stone, and this is my wife, Tori. And we have two sons, Liam and Lucas. And we've been married for almost 3 years.
So end of March, beginning of April, we were just going through our normal nightly routine, and Lucas had just gotten out of the bath. I just kind of noticed him getting very quiet and still, and basically I looked in the mirror and he just went white, and his eyes started rolling in the back of his head.
When I came back up the driveway, she was running out. She was holding him, running down the driveway, panicking, yelling, something's wrong, call 911.
So there was internal bleeding, and they had to figure out where it was coming from.
But they had to take scans to find out, and the scans kept coming back negative. So it was basically the longest week of our lives trying to find out what was causing this situation. We hit that Philippians passage and applied it as where it's like, okay, make your requests known to God with thanksgiving. So we actually went through it and said, God, these are our requests. We want our son to be healthy. We want, you know, all
answers.
These things. We want answers. We want healing. We want provision in this time. And then we went through the next phase. Make your thanksgiving known. Like, God, we thank you for being in our lives and protecting us this far, providing for us, like all these things, just doing it, and just daily. And
there were a lot of sleepless nights in the hospital. And Viv, my mother-in-law, Aaron's mom, heard this song and she sent it to it. We have a mass text with our entire family. And she said, you guys have to hear this song. Before Viv had sent that song, I had been praying a lot that night, like, God, like, where are you in this pandemic? Where are you with my son? I was feeling very discouraged and pretty much angry at God. And when she sent that song, I remember listening to it and the line, may his favor be upon you in 1,000 generations and their families and their children and their children. And I just remember like breaking down. I got on my knees and I said, may your favor be upon my son.
There was anxiety and fear at different times, but it was like I had this realization where it was like, my heart is guarded in Christ Jesus. That verse was being made known to us as we were going through this next trial, that it was like, God's word is true. We prayed on it, we applied it, and then we experienced it through this next phase, which didn't mean that it was just not there. There was definitely like crippling fear, but it was like, okay, as soon as we hit it, it was like, boom, let's pray. Let's whatever. Call my parents, have them pray over us, pray over each other. Like, yeah, they're able to repair it with surgery and fix it. And it's not recurring or anything like that. So he's recovered and has returned to full health.
Did you have surgery on your belly? You want to show them your belly button?
Yeah.
Your new belly button? Look at that. That's where they went in, huh? The doctor. Do you want to say our prayer? You say it. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
We love you so much.
We love you so much.
Thank you for.
Thank you for.
Everything.
Everything.
Good job.
The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you. Shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
rejoicing. He is for you. 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 He is for you.
Well, to my church family, we are praying for you and praying for God's blessing to continue in your life. Would you join me right now? I'd like to pray for us. Lord, we are so grateful that you are a God who bestows blessings on us, Lord, and we know that your blessings are intended for us to receive and also to empower and equip us to show and share with others and to bless others. Lord, I pray that what we receive from you, you would teach us and show us how to share that with others. And so, God, I pray, Lord, for the families, I pray for the marriages, for the students, the children, individuals in our church family. I pray for our city, for our nation, Lord, that you would be the source of blessing in our lives, that we would learn to trust you and rely on you. Thank you, God, for your unending faithfulness and willingness to bless us. We trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us in worship for our Thanksgiving celebration. I want to welcome any of you who might be first-time visitors or guests. And I want to let you know that Advent is coming up, and we're going to have an Advent reading plan for us to go through as a church family. So on Sunday, November 29th, the Advent season begins. Advent is a churchy word that means arrival or coming. It's a season that begins before Christmas, four Sundays before Christmas, and it's all about looking for Jesus to arrive, not only in the story of Christmas and his birth, but to arrive to us in this season and to arrive again as the King who will return. And so we want to reflect and look ahead together as we prepare through the Advent season with this Advent reading plan. It's based in Scripture. You can find it online even right now. Printed versions will also be available at our outdoor services at Village Christian next Saturday, November 28th. Speaking of Village Christian, we're going to celebrate Christmas there together. We're going to add a Christmas Eve service on Thursday, December 24th. That service will happen also online. So it'll be both online and outdoors at Village Christian School. Service times for our outdoor service will be determined at a later time. So stay tuned and look for that information. Next week, by the way, is a Kingdom Weekend where we always take time to learn about our local and international efforts. And it's also a chance for us to give together towards those Kingdom efforts. You can give to the Kingdom offering online. You can also give to our general offering online as well. And I encourage you to go to our website, click on Give, and you can do that there online. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for ongoing participation with us as a local church. Now let's continue in our service.
Hey, welcome everybody. I am so glad that you are here with me and have joined us for our Thanksgiving celebration services. I've been praying for our time and I believe God's going to speak to us. Well, throughout the history of our country, as we all know, Thanksgiving had been celebrated for quite some time, but then it was actually Abraham Lincoln who proclaimed it to be a national holiday. And I want to read to you from the original proclamation made from Abraham Lincoln that made Thanksgiving Day a national holiday for us. This is what he said. He said, "I do therefore invite my fellow citizens to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while they offer up the ascriptions justly due him for his singular deliverances and blessings, that they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience, commend to his tender care all who have become widows or orphans or mourners or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it, as soon as may be consistent with divine purposes, to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union." So then how do we too, in this year at this time, as Abraham Lincoln called us to, and even more so the scriptures call us to, grow in genuine thanks and praise in our hearts and minds? Well, we're going to consider that. But before we do, let's pray. Well, God, even now, we ask that you would speak to us from your word, that you would awaken our spirits to all the reasons that we have to give you thanks and praise, even in this year, even with all the challenges of this year. Speak to us now from your word, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, one of the great psalms of thanksgiving in the Bible is Psalm 107, and it starts out by saying this in verse 1. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble." And then it goes on and it finishes 43 verses later, that same psalm finishes in Psalm 107 verse 43 by saying this, "Let those who are wise give heed to these things and consider the steadfast love of the Lord." And in between verse 1 and verse 43 of Psalm 107, it recounts all of the different ways that God delivers people who cry out to them in their times of trouble as they remember his faithful, steadfast love. So then how do we build genuine thanksgiving and genuine praise in our hearts, even in this turbulent year and in these turbulent times? Well, two ways that we see from the scriptures. The first one is this, that we need to receive all the love that God gives you and then take it and be strengthened by it. So God's love, according to Psalm 107, is a steadfast source of thanksgiving. But we have a role to play in all of this, as we just read. We have to consider it. Consider something means to receive it, to recognize it, to call it to mind, to recount it in your mind, to look for it. As I often say, we're going to consider this, but before we do, let's pray. And when you consider something, that moves Thanksgiving from a national holiday to a personal reality. So then, how does God's word define this steadfast love that the psalmist speaks about? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, we're given the definition of love. Love is patient and love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Now, with that in mind, that definition of love and the psalmist telling us about steadfast love, how has God been patient with you as you reflect on this year? How has he been kind to you? How has God not rejoiced in wrongdoing, but rejoiced with you in the truth this year? How has God in his steadfast love been bearing all things with you and for you? So many times this year, I've said, God, I can't bear this anymore. I can't do this anymore. But he's bearing it with me. Are you receiving all the love that God sends your way? You know, sometimes it can actually come in a surprising way. This week, I read about a news story from 4 years ago when a young man forgot to notify his grandmother of a change in his cell phone number before Thanksgiving. And the grandmother, her name's Wanda Dench, she texted the number thinking she was texting her own grandson to invite him over for their Thanksgiving meal. And instead of her grandson, the text went to a different 17-year-old named Jamal Hinton. And, well, of course, the two figured out the mistake quickly, but Hinton texted back and jokingly asked if it was possible to still get a plate. And Wanda responded, of course you can, come on over. And so Jamal, and then he asked if he could bring his girlfriend, and his girlfriend joined Wanda and her family for Thanksgiving that year. But not only that year, they've joined together every year since. Both of them experienced how God's love can be shown to us through people, even through an accidental text invite to a Thanksgiving meal. There are so many other ways too. In fact, several weeks ago, I had a day scheduled with 10 back-to-back meetings. And some of them were with groups of people. Some of them were with individuals. And I decided that day that I would start every single one of the meetings with this question. How are you receiving all the love that God gives you? And are you allowing it to strengthen you? And of course, that question caught people off guard. They maybe thought I was just going to say, how are you doing? But that's the question I gave them. So I gave them the moment to think about it, and they began to respond. And people throughout the day told me how they were receiving God's love through things like God's word as a source of renewing strength for them. Others told me that they receive God's love by considering all that God has done for them in Christ through the cross and the resurrection and the joy of salvation. Another person shared about God's love shown to them through creation, through quiet moments in the cool of the morning. Someone else told me about a gorgeous sunset that they had seen recently. And still a different person told me about their favorite type of bird that comes to their bird feeder and how that is a sign of God's love to them. Still others spoke of God's love coming to them through the work of this congregation. And they named people in their life group or in their family. They named someone meeting one of their urgent needs, and the list went on throughout the day. And what struck me is the great variety of ways that people know and experience God's love, his steadfast love. What about you? What would your answer be to the question I asked all the people in those meetings that day? How are you receiving God's love? and taking it and being strengthened by it. When God sends his love to you, thanksgiving happens when you take it and you let it strengthen you. That phrase, take it, let me ask you, do you take God's love when it comes to you, or do you discount it? His love is steadfast for you. Sometimes when I tell people that, they'll discount it and they'll say things like, well, God couldn't love a person like me, or you don't know where I've been and what I've done. And if that's you, I want to speak to you. That's not true. God loves you. You might not love you, but God's love for you is steadfast. And when God loves you and you understand the steadfast of his love, that can heal whatever lie you believe that's been told to you that makes you think that God can't love you. Or when God sends you a gorgeous sunset, do you pause and stop and soak in it? Do you thank God for it? You know, I can be tempted to just discount it and think, well, right now I'm so busy and I have a lot that I have to do. God, I see that sunset and a glimpse of my eye, but I don't stop and savor it. I can discount it and think, well, there's another one that's going to happen tomorrow. Or let me ask you, if God gives you 10 people who genuinely love you, don't take that for granted. You know, I've noticed in my own life, but in other people's too, that I can have 10 people who love me and show me God's steadfast love for me and encourage me. But if I have one person who hates me, I can spend all of my time worried about the one who hates me rather than thanking God for the 10 who love me with God's patient and kind love. You see, thanksgiving begins and then it grows when we consider and receive all that the love that God is giving to us, yes, even in this turbulent year, and when we take it and then we do our part to choose to consider it and be strengthened by it. The second thing we see in the scriptures is this, is that God's love makes thanksgiving possible in all seasons, not just good ones. God's word says that love is not envious, as we've just read. And I found in me, in my heart, a creeping envy in my heart this year. But when envy rules your heart, then God's love doesn't. See, my envy this year isn't so much about stuff or someone else's life, but here's what envy has looked like in my heart this year. I think to myself sometimes in my heart, I just want this year to be over. I'm ready to live in a different time period. I'm ready to be done with this year. I can find that I want the next year to happen, even if I have to fast forward on. I want to live in some other time period. And if I have to fast forward through 2020, great, and maybe 2021 too, if that's what it takes. I know that many of you feel that way because you've said so too. Psalm 107, as we read, it begins and ends with a call to remember the steadfast, faithful love of the Lord. But then in all the verses in the middle are about people finding themselves in challenging seasons. And not just finding themselves in challenging seasons, but finding God in those challenging seasons. In fact, in those verses, four different times in the Psalms, it says these words. It says, Lord, help! They cried out in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. Four different times it says that in verse 6 and 13 and 19 and 23, or 28, sorry. Thanksgiving is not just available in perfect seasons. It's available in perfect storms when you consider God's steadfast love. So instead of me only thinking, God, I wish we were done with 2020, can we just get through this? Thanksgiving arises when I begin to say, and yet, when I consider all of this year, has not God, your steadfast love, carried me every step of the way? Your love, your word, God says that love bears all things. Has not your steadfast love borne with me and carried all of my burdens this year? Your word says that love endures all things. Has not your steadfast love given us an endurance that none of us would have predicted to start this year? Or as Jesus says in John 14, verse 27, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give is a gift that the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. And then later in John 16, verse 33, he says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. In other words, if you want to have peace, to have thanksgiving, then what is going on within you matters even more than what is going on in the circumstances around you. Can I trust? Can we trust that God still sees us? That he sees you? That God loves you? That he's not forgotten you? That his steadfast love is carrying us in ways yet unseen? Yes, we can. Because God's word promises his faithful love endures forever. Not just sometimes, not just in good times. His love endures forever. And as the psalm says in verse 2, has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out, tell others that he has redeemed you from your enemies. So then thanksgiving is really all about considering and receiving and remembering God's love. And it is the steadfast love of God that is the source of all true thanksgiving. Because without God's faithful love, not even the best of circumstances are enough. But with God's steadfast love, no challenging circumstances are ever beyond God's redeeming love and power. You know, I think about Abraham Lincoln. He made that Thanksgiving Day proclamation, making it a national holiday in the year of 1863. This Civil War was 2 years old, and unbeknownst to the country at that time, it still had another 2 years to go. And Lincoln could have said, you know what, we're in the middle of a civil war. The circumstances aren't great right now. Let's wait until all the challenges are gone, until the war is over, until the season is done, and then we'll thank and praise God. But he didn't do that. Right there in the middle of a contentious and challenging time in our country's history, Lincoln issued a call to Americans based off of Scripture to thank God right in the midst of the challenging season. God's word is clear and testimonies abound that God's steadfast love is available in carrying us, not just in some years, but in every year, including this year. And for that, we can give thanks. Will you pray with me? So God, even now, I pray that you would help us to receive all the love that you have for us, that we would take it and be strengthened by it. Even now, let me just ask you in a quiet moment, how has God's love, his steadfast love, met you this year, this month? How does that become the source of your gratitude and thanksgiving? Maybe through his word, maybe through his Holy Spirit. Maybe a steadfast love came through a person or people. Maybe through an answered prayer. Maybe through a peaceful sunset. Tell him thanks right now. God, we do. We thank you right now for all of those things. And I want to encourage you. In a season of changing circumstances, God's love is steadfast and secure and faithful. Thank him for that. That he can give us a peace of mind that the world cannot give. God, we thank you for your steadfast love, that you can give us a peace of mind and heart. And if you've never experienced that, ask him right now. Say, God, would you give me a peace of mind? Would you give me eyes to see your steadfast love? His steadfast love is most shown through the life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you've never given your life to Christ, the greatest form of praise is for you to say yes to Jesus because of his steadfast love for you. You can do that now. You can say, God, I'm not only saying thank you, I'm giving you my life as a form of gratitude, placing all of my trust and hope in you this Thanksgiving. If you said that, you prayed that, text in, email in, let us know. We'd love to follow up with you. If you've already made that decision, let this Thanksgiving be a day to remember the original joy of your salvation.
Bang. Let's sing it together.
Oh, forever and ever and ever, let his praises be forever and ever and ever, let his praises be.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today online. If you made a decision to follow Jesus at any point during our service, or you'd like to know more about what it means to become a Christ follower, we want you to let us know about that. You can let a pastor know, and they will follow up with you. Either email us at the address or text the word decision to the number 528-55. Well, I hope that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, that you acknowledge and recognize all the reasons that God has given us to be grateful to Him, and just receive this blessing from me and from the church staff, the pastoral team at Christian Assembly, if you would. I pray that God would bless you richly with His grace, with the truth of His Word, and with the power of His Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. See you next week.